Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is January 17th, 2024. We're here for your AEW Dynamite post-show review. We are live on youtube.com/Fightful. We are live on a variety of Twitter accounts. We are live on our Facebook page on twitch.tv/Fightful Gaming, among other platforms as well. You can get these shows after the fact on podcast platforms everywhere. It would be of great help if you all would leave us a nice review on those platforms, as we are primarily video. It helps us out an awful lot on those audio platforms when you leave a nice review, let people know that you like us. Good five stars. We're going to run a giveaway soon for people who have done that in the past. So go ahead, get yourself a five-star review in there. You're going to be entered into a contest for a free pay-per-view viewing or some merchandise, something of that sort. But if you're here right now, leave the thumbs ups. You can get your question statements read on the air here at youtube.com/Fightful with a super chat, or at humperchats.com. That's our Streamlabs platform. We're going to get more backstage news here at Fightful than anywhere else online. We're very proud of what we do there. I'll promote our Fightful Select service a little bit later. We got Alex Pawlowski. He's on that Fightful Select service, so I guess I'll promote it right now. He does a whole gaggle of shows over there.
Yep.
Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I think we know who Hook is now.
Yes.
If you did not before, perhaps now you are aware of the identity of the man they call Hook.
Yeah.
And there'll be no further questions about who the hell Hook might be.
It was a great performance. I can't wait to talk about that. Can't wait to talk about it with all you people. A reminder, we had the hump today, and as I promoted, we're going to have a lot different YouTube content in addition to our live post shows that are every night, in addition to our news shows, in addition to our interviews, which we have from the indies all the way up to WWE. We've got some sit-down videos. I've got a long-form video coming, I'm hoping, by the weekend, maybe early next week. The 10-year journey that led from CM Punk leaving WWE to returning at the Royal Rumble for his first in-ring match on TV. Because, quite frankly, it was all connected to the Royal Rumble 10 years ago. From the staph infection to the lawsuits to the AEW run, and it tells you how every single one of those was threaded to this very moment. And I'm very excited for you guys to check it out. Maybe it sucks ass, I don't know, but it's a proof of concept for us. And over on Fightful Select right now, actually, for Tier 2 members, I've got a special video, a sit-down video I did on 7 things I would change about the Royal Rumble. That was a question from a Fightful Select Q&A member. And I was like, you know what? I've got a studio. Let's do some sit-down videos based on this stuff.
Cool.
And try to basically draft behind Maven as he leads the path. And maybe we can do a little, what do they call it? A little shake and bake on.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Can't wait to do the Times I Met Maven video to just pull off of his views.
Yes.
We kicked off AEW Dynamite with Christian Cage defeating Dustin Rhodes. Man, I love Dustin Rhodes. I really do. I think this is, you know, one of those things where he is very easy to sympathize with. And he's just really, really easy to get over on as a heel because everybody loves him. He's got those sad eyes so often. And Christian, listen, if Christian sees those sad eyes, he's going to take advantage of it. This is the first one-on-one match I think that they have had since May of 2003, it says here. Wow. Insane. Goldust defeated Christian in 4 minutes back then. He had beaten him in 48 seconds by DQ a few weeks before that. 2002, Christian beat Goldust in 3 minutes and 45 seconds. This went twice as long as all three of those combined, fortunately, because this is one of those matches I'm like, I'm glad we got a proper Christian versus Dustin Rhodes match at some point. Toby says, do you think we could see more from them? You tell the same story. You have Christian, everyone else. Your dad is dead. Let me be your father figure. The heat would be insane. I mean, yeah, the heat would be insane. I think this was probably a gauge to see how anything like that would have worked in the future. But I wouldn't mind him coming out and cutting another promo like this and saying, like, you know, maybe you would have beaten me if you just had a father figure to look up to, if you had someone to guide you. I think that's the easy heat. And obviously, Dustin doesn't shy away from that.
Right. Considering how the overall reaction that I've seen to this is unanimously positive, the less I say about it, the better for our show. So I'll just move on and say, I'm glad this match happened. And I want Christian to start getting an actual program heading into Revolution, because I really hope it's not this for me.
Yeah.
Just personally, it's just not my style. And that's all I'll say about it.
I don't think they do a 15 minute match like this, 15 and a half minutes, right, just to run it back in 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't think they would do that, but I enjoyed the match. I like Dustin Rhodes being featured in this spot. He's always going to be over as long as he's here.
Sure. He is.
I also noticed Dustin Rhodes and Sting have never wrestled one another.
That's something I would be interested in, though, because of the novelty of that they started out in the same place at the same time. Sting had been there for like maybe 3 years. He was barely a veteran when the rookie Dustin Rhodes came in.
They teamed together over 50 times.
1988. They teamed together a whole bunch of times, but never faced each other. And now one of them is going into retirement, and another one will probably be going into retirement in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a good idea to do that one-on-one just for the hell of it. Handshake at the beginning, handshake and hand raise at the end. Let's get that done. I don't need to see a whole lot of thing about it, but just those two guys mixing it up would be great. Although Sting has said he does not want to do singles matches.
Yeah, I would be okay with a tag match. I mean, had Sting not teamed with Copeland, I think that like Sting and Darby against Copeland and Dustin would have been kind of fun to get both of them in there. But
yeah.
I mean, I wonder how Sting's doing after that bump last week, though. I heard Darby was fine. Like, he's wrestling tonight on Rampage.
Yeah.
So like people that were acting like, listen, there is a small percentage of people that were genuinely concerned about Darby last week. And there was a much larger percentage that feigned outrage. This guy's made of elastic. He knows his own strength. Yeah. He landed just right, whether it was intended or not, to where his neck didn't completely snap on the the ropes, but he was fine, I'm told.
Yeah. There's a lot of bad faith going on from both sides.
It's gross, man.
I just mute and move on whenever I see it, because I don't need to hear your opinions if you're just engaging in bad faith arguments from either side.
Yeah, I'll be interacting a lot more over on Fightful Select in the future, but we've got the Swerve interview that I just loved. Actually, I'm gonna ask Luis to consolidate that towards the end of the show. Mm. I'll ask him to consolidate Swerve, Hangman, and Samoa Joe, and we'll talk about that. So we can talk about... Let me see here.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Chris Jericho promo. Oh, no, I mean, I got to say this. His match at Battle of the Belts kicked ass. It was really good. It was a hoot. It was fun to watch.
It's fun.
That being said, the putting the cone on his head and stuff, I was like, ah. There was the clever copier spot where we had reported on Fightful Select. Very clearly, they had planted that.
Right.
But you know what? We report obvious stuff all the time. That's kind of part of the job sometimes.
It's good. Yeah.
Sammy had a great spot, but Jericho wants to seek and destroy some ass, he said, Alex.
I suppose it was too much for me to hope that after being powerbombed through a table like that,
oh, it was insane.
Taking that crazy bump and losing the title shot that he won with Kenny at the pay-per-view months ago. So now that's all neat and tidy, and it's over. The storyline can be over. Now, you can say the storyline with Don Callis could continue there, but really, it's a perfect opportunity for AEW to shuffle old Chris Jericho off for some time off before his cruise, where he will be playing shuffleboard. And that's fine. Do that. It was far too much for me, I suppose, to hope that they would read the several rooms and just do that now and maybe figure out what to do, whether to bring him back, when to bring him back. But to continue this, just continue him being featured, seems like a very tone-deaf thing to do.
I thought it was the perfect opportunity to give him 3 weeks off around the exact time that you mentioned. Right. Give him this week off. He got powerbombed through a table. Next week, man's got a big-ass cruise that he's promoting to prepare for. The week after, listen, everybody's been home from vacation and still felt tired after vacation.
Sure.
People know how that is.
After a cruise, you might have any number of horrible gastrointestinal viruses. You know what I mean? Is that it's a cruise.
Exactly.
Horrible things happen to people on cruises.
We look forward to seeing what Kate comes back with.
Yes.
Anyway. Billy says, any news on Mercedes Moné to AEW? Yeah, she's going. And in the event that for some reason we never see her on AEW, I'll say this again. The story will not be, I can't believe AEW didn't land her. It'll be, what the hell happened to that deal that made it cancel or not happen or something. That would be the story, not the, she was never there, because there is information that would definitely emerge there. We've got, what else is, Best Friends defeated Commander and Penta. The show was full of tag matches that existed to be humpers. We saw a lot of that here, but this match was as good as you would expect. Trent getting the win on Dynamite, that's something I think needed to happen. Private Party getting a win on Dynamite as well. Bullet Club Gold getting a win on Dynamite. Those are all things that I feel like, because we rarely see them, seeing them here almost felt out of place. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you do have to restore the feeling, so to speak, with a lot of these talent that just haven't been featured. And they've been relegated to Rampage and, you know, the darker parts of Collision and the like.
Right.
But I was glad to see them get the win before we talk about the promo afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I was also happy to see Rey Fénix, at least in the country, if not wrestling. Meaning that when he is healthy, we'll be seeing Rey Fénix wrestle again, which is great. I kind of like that they set it up as like, this was supposed to be straight up Best Friends versus Lucha Bros, but because of some nagging injuries, we're going to do something instead. One thing that I did not realize, because it just doesn't seem possible to me, this is the first time Orange Cassidy and Trent have teamed together in a 2-on-2 tag match in AEW. I would have thought at some point it would have had to have happened, but no, it's always been in trios or Trent's been with somebody else. I think that was kind of cool that we saw that together. They work well together. Commander is spectacular. Penta's always a great performer. I like Trent getting the win, and I love the I love the tactics that are being employed by Roddy Strong here. Because, like, Battle of the Belts, he could have easily, he and the Kingdom could have taken out Cassidy. But no. I want to let you know I'm coming for the belt. I just want to let you know I'm always going to be here. There's no intimidation tactics physically, just mentally. I think that's pretty cool.
And also, I mean, from a mental aspect, even if Orange Cassidy is there, whether or not, you know, he's competed or not, his whole thing is, if I look at you, I'm ready to fight you type of thing. That's his whole thing. I'm ready to have a match with you now, ready to have a match with you Friday, tonight, this Saturday, not like 5 or 6 weeks into the future. So it actually makes sense based on what we've seen out of Orange Cassidy that Roderick Strong goes, no, I don't want it right now. I do want it at Revolution because I want you to think about it. I want you to sulk over it because sure. Orange Cassidy has proven that his strength is competing immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny because he was the lazy procrastinator.
Yes.
And now he's the, let's do this. Let's get it mm-hmm. done. I'm going to manage my time wisely guy. It's yeah. one of those rare instances where, no, we'll do it on my terms actually does make sense from a term standpoint. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen at Revolution. So for, you know, for anybody that's like, oh, well, AEW never books their matches until the week of, a lot of times I would hear about that and I would have known that the matches were set up well before that.
Right, right.
However, this time between Young Bucks, Sting, and right. Darby, Hangman or Swerve, maybe both, against Samoa Joe and Roderick Strong against Orange Cassidy, right. we're in mid-January and they already right. have things set up for March.
We already know, I think, a lot of things that are happening for there, but they haven't announced them yet. Yeah. And I am always of the opinion there's a happy medium between the week of and a month and a half out. You know what I mean? Like there's yes. there, because if you announce the match a month and a half ahead of time, well, then you got to do all this weird, like, oh, we can't have them touch. And we have to, like, all, there's a lot of stuff that you got to tiptoe around. I'm usually about a month is perfect.
Yeah.
So we'll see what else they announce, but I like this, you know, the Roddy Strong and my thing is that I love watching Orange Cassidy wrestle and defend his title, but now you're going to have him, if he defends his title, there's no suspense whatsoever. Not that there would be much, but there's no suspense whatsoever because we know he's yeah. going to face Roddy. Those kind of things kind of hamstring me as a viewer.
A reminder, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We greatly appreciate it. That's how you directly speak with us here on the air. You get your questions answered, your statements read on the air. Fightful Select had some news on an interesting name backstage at AEW Dynamite tonight. We also have more. We have some interesting ROH news coming on Thursday to FightfulSelect.com as well. And we got a Q&A show there every week. Check it out, FightfulSelect.com. In addition to exclusive wrestling news, more than you'll get anywhere else, we have over 40 shows a month. It's a good time over there. Oh, man. We had one that tugged at our heartstrings here. This is the 1-year anniversary of the tragic passing of Jay Briscoe. And Mark Briscoe came out and they showed a video following this that was the tribute that aired last right. week, but I can't tell you how many times on like Q&As and things like that, I've gotten questions about updates about Jay Briscoe's family. And that's one of those things where honestly, I don't feel like it's my place to share that. I think it's the family's place to share that when appropriate. They deemed tonight appropriate, Alex, and it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen on AEW Dynamite.
Yeah.
Mark Briscoe said that his oldest niece was told by doctors that she had likely never walk again. And then he brought out the three Briscoe siblings walking on stage. This was incredible, Alex. This was, I mean, it's like, how can you honor somebody like Jay Briscoe, who had such an impact on pro wrestling, had such an impact on so many fans, on Mark himself. This is the way that you do it right here. You show people that, like, it's horribly tragic that he's gone, but these three are going to carry on his memory.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It's a beautiful moment. And I never sought the information, but I hadn't heard much more about the girls since the accident, and just hoped that everything turned out all right for them. And I didn't really know exactly how badly they had been injured. So the way that Mark tells the story himself, trying not to get choked up, it was a really amazing, you know, triumphant moment for her to come out like that with her siblings. It was really beautiful. It was just an absolutely unspeakable tragedy. It's amazing to watch the wrestling community come together in support of that family. And it's so great to see all the excellent work that Mark has been doing. He's an honorary Hardy Boy. I don't know if you watch Ramboy page, but he's basically
actually,
a Hardy Boy now. That's
really
great.
I really enjoy what they're doing there. The Hardys have been turning a little more carny every week, and like shilling their shirts and stuff like that. And Mark's facial expression.
Bragging about Rampage winning in the race.
Yes. So there were people that were like seriously bothered by the fact that it was brought up. And I was like, guys, that was fed to Jeff Hardy.
Yes.
Jeff Hardy does not know what any of that stuff means. And I know that to be a fact. Yes. Like,
yeah.
And Mark Briscoe's reactions, he was like this. Why are you putting this pendant on me? It was so good.
That's fun.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was fantastic. But yeah. And somebody says, is Jeff Hardy complaining about the Rampage thing storyline? I think it is. I think it actually is a storyline. But Tom LaValle says, as a procrastinator with ADHD, let me tell you, it either happens right now or probably never. I get OC's mentality. Well, I'll tell you right now, guys, they've always got great deals over at BetOnline.ag. It's not now or never at BetOnline. Our great partners. You can get AEW odds and lines, WWE ahead of the Royal Rumble, MLW, TNA even. I'm just gonna pull up what some of the odds are going to be. And by the way, I had mentioned this past week, Gunther was number two favorite for the Royal Rumble. Cody has since jumped him. Jumped him in those odds. They've got all kinds of interesting odds and that are set, including will CM Punk be fired or quit before the end of 2024? And no is only a minus 200, which is a very, very close set of odds there. But it doesn't stop there. NFL, NBA, NCAA, NHL, UFC, football, soccer, anything you got. They got incredible games, a VIP rewards program. They are trusted by millions of users for over 25 years. You're actually able to compare their competitors on the site. Safe and secure online environment. You get your payouts in minutes. The highest credit card acceptance. And like I've mentioned numerous times, even before we had a partnership with BetOnline.ag, this is where our odds and lines came from for years. And I contacted them to set up this partnership as a result of that. I liked what they did. I always loved how much conversation it generated. And we decided to do some business together. And I'm so excited to see that. But I'm looking right now. Baltimore Ravens, Houston Texans. Minus 450 for the Ravens. I think the Texans might pull out the upset there. Niners minus 450. The Packers plus 360. Man, that's a pretty broad line in my opinion. Don't know about that one. The Chiefs are underdogs against the Bills. I'd probably take the Chiefs there. Probably would. Check them out. BetOnline.ag. Alex.
Yeah.
I love this Young Bucks segment. And oh my God. Like, listen, there are so many people. Alex, there are so many people for so long that have been gotten by the Young Bucks.
Oh man.
because what they do, you know, I often mention that like the accentuate the positive, hide the negative, and how with Dominic, there were no positives. So they accentuated every negative. The Young Bucks do the opposite, where they accentuate every criticism that you might have of them, and they put a gigantic magnifying glass on them. Well, they don't look convincing. Cool, they're going to grow creepy little mustaches.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually old. They're not the Young Bucks anymore. Okay, they're going by Matthew and Nicholas now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, CM Punk lives rent free in their head. Okay, they're gonna really make you talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. They said that Sting wasn't the problem. Sting's been a model employee. But at some point, AEW lost the way and they needed to restore the feeling. He said that they started to lean on yesterday's self-serving, superficial, cancerous superstars. I'm going to read some of the replies that I'm going to get from this. Because there's Punk lives rent-free on these idiots' minds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Challenge. Young Bucks go 1 week without talking about CM Punk. Difficulty. Impossible. We get it. You fought CM Punk. Move on. So they're willing to reference it now, but where's that attitude when you wouldn't do business with him before? Cost that company millions and multiple. Where was it? They referenced it within a few weeks of them coming back.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? They've referenced it. Oftentimes, they say that it's time they started to take their jobs seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, if y'all can't see, it's like, okay, guys, you said they did too many super kicks. They added a super kick counter and did like 200 of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Begging you to see what's going on here. Mm-hmm. But also, if you have to explain to somebody that it's a work and that they're generating the heat, oh, then what are you even doing there? But that's been the history of the Young Bucks. They do this. They've done this for 10 years. What'd you think?
Hashtag gotten to. listen, it was over the second they were like, I'm sorry. Please refer to us by our given names, Nicholas and Matthew Jackson. And I was like, that's it. It's over. Well, I'm in for whatever this is. I'm in. I'm into it because it's a fun heel persona for the Bucks, and leaning into the EVP thing is great. For the people who want it to be this thing, it's all about Punk, and if that increases your enjoyment of the character or increases your hatred for the Young Bucks, fine. If that is actually how you want to watch this, that's great. I'm into it just because it's a really clever way of presenting them as heels, as opposed to the heels who came out with like the Hulk Hogan, Fu Manchu, dyed purple. Those heel Young Bucks. That's one thing. This is entirely different. He is wearing a forward facing white Kangol cap. Like this, the other guy's wearing Matt's wearing. So that's Nick. All in white with the forward-facing white Kangol cap, and Matt was wearing a cardigan, like a sumptuous wool cardigan. This is great. I mean, like they're doing some really good stuff with the promo stuff, but already the character work they're doing and insisting that Justin Roberts introduce them as Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, not as the Young Bucks. It's gonna be so good. It's gonna be so good, man.
I see them as like Lowell McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if here's what I like about it. The attitude is very similar, but from a physical standpoint, it's the opposite. And it's what people that hate them really, really hate. Mm-hmm. It's that you believe you can beat them up probably. And they're going to get away with saying all this ridiculous shit.
Right.
Oh my God. We got some super chats and humper chats about this one. Thank you to our moderator, Luis. Says the only thing the Young Bucks didn't do was use unprofessional, says Orion Ben. Parker says, are the Bucks becoming corporate heels? Yes. And as Force of Will says, if TK doesn't want to be an on-screen heel like Vince, the Young Bucks will do it. I love it. Yes. And to do that, you're going to have to use the heat that you got. Like, guys, the don't mention it thing. Who cares? CM Punk has already mentioned it. Right. He mentioned it within a week. In fact, WWE put this hilarious video out afterwards where they recapped it and they had him go, ha, like that in the slow-mo after he dropped the little line. Who cares? I'll tell you what, I much prefer these guys doing little promo lines and laughing about it, CM Punk and the Young Bucks, as a result of this deep-seated hatred over pro wrestling bullshit. Yep. Please use it on screen. That's what I was begging for them to do back then. And listen, you can say whatever you want about the Bucks wouldn't do it, Omega wouldn't do it, Punk would. I don't care. They're in different companies now. It looks like CM Punk's real happy. So I hope that all of them, I hope all of them use it for every single thing that they can within the realm of it staying as entertainment and emotion invoking television. That's what I want. That's what I want to see. And if Punk does it, if the Bucks do it, if Jack Perry does it, yeah, more power to all of them.
Yep.
More power to all of them. Get over how you can get over if it doesn't hurt anybody. Because what it seemed like is working together in AEW was going to hurt somebody. Yes. Now you ain't got to do it. Sawyer says, from Roddy to the Bucks, Hangman looking like Jake Roberts. It was a great night for mustaches. They're in right now.
Yeah.
Maddie Nice says, just got NordVPN, still trying to figure it out. Fantastic dynamite today. Love the Bucks' new gimmick. Tell them when they are telling lies. Well, my friend, I will tell you exactly how to use NordVPN.com/Fightful. The best VPN in the world. They got great deals all the time at NordVPN.com/Fightful. But hey, you say you don't know how to use it, huh? Well, luckily for you, they've got 24/7 tech support. So all you got to do is go over to NordVPN.com/Fightful, say, hey, man, how do I do this? Well, assistance is never far away. Their support staff are always happy to take care of your problems, help set you up, or answer any questions that you have. Questions about what, you might ask. How to get pay-per-views as cheap as possible. That threat protection, that global server network, being safe from disruptions with their kill switch, the reliable encryptions. Maybe you have questions about their great 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you have a question about their great deal. Save big and get 4 months extra. Maybe you even have a question and you go, hey, didn't Huffington Post and Wired and BuzzFeed and Forbes and TED and Entrepreneur all put you over? That 24/7 tech support probably isn't there to answer that, but they'll say, yep, sure do. That's why it's at the bottom of our page, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Maybe you say, hey, how's this NordPass password manager work? And they say, well, you know what? It organizes your complex passwords, keeps them in a safe, secure place at all times. That's what NordVPN.com/Fightful does. Hot diggity dog. Check it out, my friends. NordVPN.com/Fightful. There's our overlay. Wardlow promo. Adam Cole says that he's going to win the world title, being Wardlow. And then it will be, he leaned out of the, he's going to hand it over to me. He says it's going to be property of the Undisputed Kingdom at that point. Wardlow didn't say a lot more besides boom. How you feeling about this?
We'll see. Like, I'm liking what they're having Roddy and the Kingdom do their thing. Wardlow. I love that Adam Cole is talking up Wardlow. I do feel like this guy still has not hit his ceiling as this destructive big man who honestly can work. Like, they're just having him come in and powerbomb dudes, but he can work. So I'm interested in what they're going to do with this. I also love that Wardlow is fully conscious of this master plot by Adam Cole to have Wardlow. Yeah, sure, I'm going to do that, buddy. Yes, absolutely. Thanks. Because Wardlow, I always felt like Wardlow joining with the devil guys was a means to an end. To ruin Max, MJF, in the most affecting way possible, and to be a part of that, to be in the ring when MJF realized it was his best friend who destroyed him. Like, that's what Wardlow wanted. Now he might use these guys as a means to an end for him to get the title.
Yeah.
And then when Adam says, now you're going to give it to me, Wardlow's going to say, no, I'm not, and peace out. Because Wardlow isn't really in on this thing. He's just using it. I like that they're doing that.
I am excited for whenever MJF comes back and he's like, Vince was right about you. You do your best work as a manager type of stuff. Like, that'll be a nice line for Cole to react to. Bullet Club Gold win the ROH six-man tag team championships with the help of the Acclaimed. Prince Nana is there as well. Parker says, are we getting a trios unification match? Oh, I hope so.
Me too.
So, Alex, what I have said, I've mentioned this on multiple shows. People say, well, should Raw and SmackDown split the tag titles? I say no. I say, let's do six-man tag titles, world six-man tag titles. Mm-hmm. And people say, whoa, how can you do that? How could you do that? There's only a few teams on SmackDown. Not a few teams in WWE, Alpha Academy.
Right.
You got Imperium. You got Indushare. You got New Day if Big E comes back. You got a whole bunch. They're all over the place.
Right.
World titles. That's what I want to see here. World six-man tag titles. You don't need ROH six-man, AEW six-man. You don't need it.
No. I don't think you need 2 six-man title belts, certainly. You already have everybody floating from brand to brand anyway, ROH to AEW. There's no reason why you have an exclusive six-man trios title. So putting them together is great, especially because it results in the Acclaimed versus Bullet Club Gold to do that unification, probably Revolution, and then the Bullet Club Gold will be the ones to win it because Jay White is part of that group, and then we can have the Acclaimed break up. Anthony Bowens can go on a great singles run because he's a brilliant worker. Max Caster can find something else to do. And like, does the Acclaimed really? I'm just kind of done with the Acclaimed. But like, I'd love Jay White and the Guns together. I think that work really well. When Juice Robinson is eventually able to come back, it'll be this really cool faction again. I'm into it. I think that's great. And yes, I agree in WWE. It does look to me, because all of these trios, almost all of them are over on SmackDown, that they may just say SmackDown is where the trios title is and Raw is where the tag titles are. Mm-hmm. And like in the draft, we're just going to just switch back and forth. And then you're going to put all the trios on one thing because they've decided to make about 5 or 6 different trios over on SmackDown already.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, there's the Bloodline. There's all kinds. There's LWO, multiple versions now, for the love of God.
Yep.
The Legado World Order. There's
that's
the OC, if they get back together, the Testament, like it's pretty cool. I am down for Acclaimed versus Bullet Club Gold at Revolution. If it's a unification match,
unification, I think it makes sense. Really great. Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Zach Schimmel says, this is for Alex, the best ad read yet. He did great. We had that Sting and Darby video, which we talked about earlier as well. Mm-hmm. We had Private Party defeating Top Flight, another tag match that existed to be a slapper.
Yeah.
As Tom Townsend says, combine the ROH and AEW trios and call them the Honor Elite Trios World Championship, or just the World Trios Championship.
The World Trios Champion is fine, but I do like them combining, for sure.
I do. Private Party cheating to get the win over Top Flight. These are a couple of teams that were very natural in feuding together because they drew a lot of comparisons. They were the young, high-flying team that everybody saw as like, okay, they're gonna be something. Neither one of them have reached the heights that we thought they would. Injuries, unfortunately, prevented that from both teams.
I do wonder if Top Flight was would have been ROH tag champs by now.
I think they would have been.
If Dante Martin had not gotten injured in that match. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. I think both of these guys, these two teams, very young, incredibly exciting. I like that they have a little handshake, like maybe a 20% of the way through the match, and by the end, Private Party's cheating to beat them. This could be a really fun years long rivalry, where with moments of respect, like. Not everything has to have an analog in a different company, but the easiest way I have to describe what I'm thinking of is like the Usos in the New Day, where they fight each other all the time, but God damn it, do I respect you? Like yeah. That kind of a thing could be really fun to last years and years.
Thought the match was good too. I thought the right team won. You got to reestablish Private Party,
and they protected Top Flight because Private Party took the shortcut, you know, and because they're like, you know, haha, we got you. Then it doesn't feel like they're being, you know, chicken. You know, like they're it feels right. You've established the right relationship between these two teams.
How many more times do you think they'll do the Action Andretti water bottle spot?
I mean,
I think one more during a match, I think, is appropriate, and then it's like lean out.
I would lean out of it immediately because it's very unnerving to watch to me. But I do feel like they'll probably like have like the new Action Andretti action figure now with hydration action or something, and they'll do something weird with it.
Okay. Deonna Purrazzo defeated Anna Jay and Timeless Toni Storm on commentary. Among the lines that Toni Storm said was, Tony Schiavone, you look amazing with the haircut and clean shaven. It was Ian Rigoboni.
We've all been so worried about you, but you've lost weight. You've shaven. You've touched up your hair. You look fantastic, Tony. This... Her mistaking Rick Bonnie for Tony Schiavone and then like running her fingers through his hair and for the entire match.
Rick Bonnie was like, I'll take the compliments any way I can get them.
And then she says at one point, she says, I don't know what you're doing under the table with this table with your feet, but please do it harder.
they bring up Deonna's nickname being the Virtuosa, and she's like, I had Virtuosa once, and I won't tell you how I got it or who I got it from. And I love Taz being like, also, he got rid of that stupid earring. This is great. This is really, really good. Deonna Purrazzo defeated Anna Jay, tapped her out, clean as a sheet, looked dominant. Man, that double arm bar. Ooh. Because, like, she can't use just the one-armed arm bar. That's MJF's thing.
Well, yeah.
So they go double arm
bar. But calling it the Venus de Milo, the very famous statue with no arms, is perfect. It's a perfect thing.
It is perfect. Deonna Purrazzo gets the win, and Meet Norma says, respectfully, I thought Deonna looked great tonight. Any chance she beats Tony at Revolution to send Tony completely nuts? Add Dalton Castle to the mix. So yeah, I would love to see Dalton Castle in the mix there, but that's the interesting thing about Toni Storm. Despite her being a good champion, she can exist without the title belt. In fact, sometimes it helps her to not have the title belt. That's what's accelerated her so many times. Daily Common says every week more of a confirmation that Toni Storm is a genius. When all is said and done, may go down as one of the best character pieces of all time. I mean, it's a phenomenal switch up, Alex.
It's so good. It's she's coming up with a lot of this stuff on the fly, and it's so, so good. Every word feels like it's perfectly selected, entirely correct with the character and everything. I loved all of this.
They've got to do a Wendi Richter spot.
No, yeah. You got to figure out a way.
They've got to.
Hold on. Now. This is not normally my bag, but if it's Deonna versus Tony at Revolution, and if you were going to put Deonna over, just have her just continually bringing up Wendi Richter in the weeks leading up to it. And Wendi Richter's music hits and she comes out, and Toni Storm has the distraction finish because of that. could be a lot of fun. Now, it's not normally my bag, but that would be a lot of fun.
Yes, that would be also great.
Her astride the shoulders of Luther, calling her an artificially tanned hag, and saying, going to get in that ring and punch you right in the box.
I thought she said the butt, but no, I've been told it's the box.
Right in the box.
Amazing. Black Phoenix says, what's with all the shitty camera work tonight? Briscoe segment, Tony Deanna segment. What gives? I'll have to go back and watch. I don't know what you mean. I didn't quite pick that one up. Deanna instantly treated like a star, as she should be.
Yeah.
She and I joked on her WWE exit interview that she was 0-20. And then she immediately became a world champion in Impact.
Yes.
And was their top person, had nothing else to prove. So I think that having her come in and win the title, I mean, obviously I like Deanna a lot personally. So a little biased there, but I think it'd be good. I think it would help Tony. And I think that, listen, I also wouldn't hate Tony after the Wendi Richter loss challenging Deanna as the Spider Lady either. I wouldn't hate that. That seems like something that would be up Tony's alley.
Yeah.
But Tony P says, it felt like they put the focus on the youngsters, not only tonight, but the past couple of shows. The women's match and the Tony Deanna promo was good and in ring. Can't wait to see what happens when the division is full force, even though I wished for it tonight. I mean, I think that we're going to see it really accelerated. I think that they're getting the pieces that they need to get.
Yeah.
I think this division will become
splendid.
There you go.
Good.
Terry Allen Jr. says, little excited for 2K24 news next week. Sure. I mean, last year was, I mean, that was the War Games year. That was incredible. Like getting to play that and whip Denise Salcedo's ass was a good time. That was a lot of fun. Look forward to doing that again. Anime Otaku says, Deanna was fighting for her life at the artificially tanned hag. Tony said, puss, old slang for mouth.
I'm pretty sure she said box. And that seems to be the box. Because also, sock you, she said sock you right in the box, which which feels like a thing that she would say because of the almost rhyming nature of it. It feels like it's something that would be written for her by some highfalutin old scriptwriter, you know? I don't know.
Yes.
And I'm not sure.
Swerve interview backstage. Jesus.
Yeah, man.
Howard Christ on a 10-speed bicycle. This was unbelievably good. Swerve said that he's got his eyes on the AEW World Championship. Even though he lost the Continental Classic, everybody was talking about him, and that he's going to keep racking up wins until he forces their hand. And they bring up Hangman Page and how Hangman Page is looking to do the same thing. Yeah. And Swerve put over Hangman as well as he could without putting him over himself. He said, Hangman Page is great. He beats Roderick Strong. He beats Claudio Castagnoli. He beats JD Drake. Mentioning those names, mentioning JD Drake with Hangman Page, like, I love that Swerve did that because he said it's an accolade to beat JD Drake. JD Drake's really good. You beat all those. And he said, you know what? If God himself opened up the heavens, moved some clouds, came down here and challenged Hangman Page to a fight, I think Hangman Page might have a chance to beat him too. But he doesn't have a chance to beat me.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Yep. Yeah. It's great.
God damn!
Great. Can't say anything against it. It is perfect. Perfect.
That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good. It was incredible. Hangman Page's mustache was incredible too.
Man, it's a majestic son of a bitch, that mustache.
It's getting there. It's getting there. It's only going to get thicker too, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. So let's talk about this main event.
Jesus.
Holy shit. Listen, guys. This was better than Seth Rollins versus Jinder Mahal.
No, you think?
This was better than that match.
All right. Well, I respect your opinion.
Thank you. Now, there will be some people that call me biased as a result of that.
Really? No. On the internet?
Samoa Joe versus Hook was better than Seth Rollins versus Jinder Mahal. And we didn't have one of the best workers in the world, unfortunately, getting hurt as a result. Which, I'm going to put my conspiracy theory hat on here.
Oh, do you?
Completely unfounded.
Uh-huh.
Seth Rollins is backstage cutting a promo. You could see that man's breath. It could not have been easy to warm up.
No.
Like, physically warm up before that match.
Correct.
The hell y'all doing, Little Rock? Samoa Joe beats Hook. And I mean he beats Hook. He whips Hook's ass. He beats that son of a bitch all over the place. Uranagi through a table. And he smashes the table, and then the table collapses.
That table had a delayed reaction.
Yes. Yes. Powerbomb on the apron. Ass whooping all over the place. Taz flipping out. Taz was great here.
Yeah.
And then Samoa Joe does the muscle buster. And Hook kicks out at one.
Yeah.
Which I have never seen before.
Right.
Hook fights back. Taz is so excited.
That suplex he threw up Joe in, man. That was impressive.
Crowd is just there for it. Now, I did agree with some of the criticisms that you can only see like the first few rows of fans. I would love to see more fans. I would love to see them more.
Yeah.
But other than that, crowd was jumping up and down. They were pumped for it. Great finish. Hook goes to apply his submission. Samoa Joe says, puts on his, chokes Hook out. Hook doesn't tap out. Mm-hmm. So Hook kicks out of all this stuff, kicks out of the muscle buster, almost wins, almost has his finish locked in, doesn't tap out. After the match, Samoa Joe leaves, and Hook's like,
that's all you got?
Bitch, that's all you've got. Taz comes back. Hook hasn't had enough after that even. Hangman Page makes the save, but we're going to talk about this match. This was phenomenal. Matthew Hook says, Joe and Copeland putting over young talent. I love it. This was what this match needed to be. You make Hook into something even more. I kind of like that we didn't hear Hook until recently. Yeah. And I had mentioned, like, I don't know why I didn't assume he had a thick New York accent, considering who his dad was, but it adds an awful lot to it.
Yeah.
Chi-Town Spurs wants to see the cage match rating. This was just a perfect dynamite main event.
Yeah. Hook's promo from last night, right off the stoop with the dollar slice. Yeah, you know, I'm too little to contend with Samoa Joe. But, you know, I am getting some calories, so you never know. Like, 24 hours, Joe, I'm coming after you. I love it. I love it so much. And him coming out and just throwing just closed fists, taped fist shots, and just working the body, just throwing everything he's got at Joe. And Joe, like he's being stung by a million bees and has to finally ward him off, throws him into everything. This is really great stuff. The Uranagi was nasty. And then Joe just walks around the ring like he's going for an old-timey stroke. Chest out, arms waving. My God, that walk around thing was amazing. And then the powerbomb onto the apron. And the kid rolls in. Joe beats him up some more. Kicks out at two. Okay, fine. Pick you up. Put your muscle buster. Kick out at one. Joe's reaction of like, well, nobody, that's never happened before. So then Hook fighting back. Gets him into that the suplex thing, which was great. And if he locks in the red drum, who knows what the story is? But you can't lock that in on Samoa Joe. You just can't. Samoa Joe gets out of it, puts him in the thing. I respected the hell out of Hook before. After this, man, the beating he took, and the cell job was amazing. But also, that all you got? Is that all you got? And I love that Samoa Joe is like, I'm not going to get in here and have a respectful bout with you after I already choked your ass out. He walks in, he strides into a dick kick. Strides into a dick kick and then another muscle buster and then leaves a second time. And then he gets up again. This kid, you can't put him down. And I don't know what Joe would have done with him if and Hangman hadn't shown up. But I also love that Hook, after everything left, after Swerve had his little standing on the outside, but Hangman lifts up the kid, is going to hold his arm up, and Hook's like, no, I don't need that from you.
Yes.
He's pissed he lost.
He does not, and he doesn't want somebody's endorsement. Nope. He's got, buddy, he's got the endorsement of the human suplex machine. He don't need it from Hangman Page.
Yeah.
His dad is proud of him. And his dad is a guy that you look at and you go, all right, well, he's probably pretty hard on that son of his. He yeah. probably expects the best of it. So that's what I love about this. Dale Common says, remember when Hook was a meme, how far we've come?
Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible. And I love matches like this where it looks like someone can't afford to lose.
Right.
Because that's what world championship matches should be. It yeah. shouldn't be, well, we decided to heat him up last week. It should be guy who's barely lost for years against yeah. a guy who doesn't lose.
Right.
That's how it should be.
Perfect.
Irene says it was a masterclass in underdog versus badass booking. Should they launch Hook into the upper mid-card main event scene, Hook versus Christian? I think that would be phenomenal as well.
That might be something for Revolution. It could be really yeah. interesting.
I mean, honestly.
I need Christian cutting a promo on Hook. Says, I know you don't have a dead father, but that can be arranged. Like yes. some ridiculous, but with exactly. Taz being all angry about everything, that could be a lot of fun.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
That's exactly what went through my mind. Tim McFall says, Joe is the final boss. I still want Swerve to win the title, but after that performance, I'm okay with waiting. Star making performance by Hook too. That table spot and kick out at one. Damn. You know, it's funny when I first like looked at the lay of the land with AEW and I'm like, man, I think Samoa Joe is going to beat MJF. It's like, okay, a guy in his early to mid 40s beating a guy in his mid 20s, ending a year long reign where he doesn't get beat. It was the right call. It was the right move. Mm-hmm. Samoa Joe was the right person to win that title. It's wild. It's wild. James Zimmerman says, well, that's who Hook is. Great match. Here's the thought. Young Bucks win the tag titles at Revolution. Drop them to Christian and Adam at All In. Love. Yeah, I would not have minded if, you know, again, I'm not going to assume Sting's going to wrestle before Revolution.
Right.
Considering the fact that he just jumped off a balcony the other day.
Yes, yes.
I would have loved if Sting and Darby won the tag titles and then dropped them to the Young Bucks at Revolution. I think that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
Ben Baker says, Joe and Hook are perfect together. Hook will beat Joe one day and it'll be great. The in-ring storytelling was phenomenal. It was. They made an underdog out of a guy that has lost like once.
Yeah. This is something I've always kind of wanted in AEW is a story of like a guy with a white whale. Like not necessarily I have to beat you for the title you're holding. I just have to beat you at some point. I cannot rest until I beat you. I thought it was going to be Orange Cassidy versus Moxley, but then Orange Cassidy got his win back pretty quick.
Yeah, he did.
I love the idea of Hook has to beat Samoa Joe. He's got to do it. Even after Samoa Joe loses the title to Swerve or whoever, Hook has to beat Samoa Joe. That can be a really cool story of Hook never giving up. Also, if we do Hook versus Christian, that means we have to see a Hook versus Nick Wayne match along the way. And that is something that is a decade long rivalry. You could start with that match because both guys are so young and so great. I'd be really interested in that as well.
Anya says Joe Hook is that Bret Hart versus 1-2-3 kid from Raw 94 in vibes. I don't think so because Hook has been around longer, yeah, and Hook has won titles. Hook has been prominently featured. Hook is big time over. I don't think it's that far off because, I mean, you know, 1-2-3 Kid had some big wins, and I think he had been tag champ by then, maybe. But I think it's just its own thing. But I like the comparison.
Yeah.
Bobby White says, so what's this about a free agent backstage? I know Maki Ito is farming and wrestling, apparently. What's her status? Is she signed somewhere? Don't know if she's signed anywhere. FightfulSelect.com, though, the best $5 in the business, reported that former NWA champion Camille was backstage at AEW Dynamite tonight. Now, it's expected that that she's headed to WWE, but I haven't heard that she signed on the dotted line, and you never know.
And has not been committed to paper. Who knows?
Yeah. He also can't wait to see Megan Bain in AEW. I think that the move to Japan for a while was a great one. Great one for her. Tim McFall says, Swerve Joe feud going to put Blue Chew out of business. Oh, man. We've got a bunch of Humper Chats coming in just now, apparently. Sawyer says, I hope Deonna's comment about being the best technical women's wrestler sets up a Serena D program, even if it's a quick one. Listen, guys. I hate to keep reminding you guys of this, but there's an elephant in the room there that I feel like shouldn't have to be repeatedly addressed. I don't think that Deonna, knowing her personally, would say, no, I'm not going to work with her. But I can't imagine that AEW isn't like, you know what we should do for our first feud? Put her in there against the woman who's married to her ex-boyfriend. I maybe don't think that's necessarily the one that's going to happen. Bobby White says, Thekla and AEW coming soon? Don't know about that one. Haven't necessarily heard about where she's going. I think there's some time off there. Do you think Wendi Richter for Revolution? Yeah, I think that would make a lot of sense. Julia News. Sorry for all the free agent news. It's just exciting. Buddy, you're preaching to the choir. I love free agent news. Contract season's my favorite thing, period. I love talking about it. Julia is, at least the Observer claimed that she was going to take some time off, work on her English. WWE were telling me, she ain't got to do that if she doesn't want to. She can come right over here. We'll teach her English. That's how bad they want her. That's a resource that's commonly available. But says, who do you want to see pop up? Where that can make the roster better? I think Julia working NXT is the right move. I mean, listen, Julia worked stiff, and I would love to see her in NXT working stiff. She sees Lola Vice. She don't know a damn thing about Lola Vice. She works stiff with Lola Vice, and then they're slugging it out because Lola Vice used to be a pro fighter. That's what I want to see. I want to see her in there going at it with some people and styles that I haven't seen. That's what I want to see. As far as Camille, I think that she is the best fit in WWE as well. I love what Mustafa Ali and Nick Nemeth are doing. They aren't going straight to AEW. They're like, let's work GCW, New Japan, TNA. Spread the wealth a little bit. Spread the buzz. Kate was told, and I confirmed, Mustafa Ali is one of the biggest indie ticket movers since Cody Rhodes. Unreal.
Yeah.
Irene says, one reason the AEW doesn't tell story narrative reeks was the main event. A match itself can tell a great story like Hook and Joe did tonight. It was a couple promos and a match.
Yeah.
And guess what? If Hook had lost like 10 times, this wouldn't be a story. But wins and losses matter. So that's why this felt more important. Tony says, this match made Hook tonight like the immediate post-match with the look on Joe's face. It told me with that look that if this young one was fighting this hard for the belt, what the hell will those better bring? Yeah, I mean, I just thought that Hook did an incredible job. Did an incredible job. And so did Joe. Kylie says, in 2024, there are very few things that are definite. Trans rights are human rights. Modern wrestling is awesome. And Fightful Select is the best $5. Well, thank you, Kylie. And in just 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tonight, actually, you'll see how Fightful Select, to the tune of thousands of people, voted on the 2023 Fightful Awards. Myself and Denise Salcedo are back. You are going to hear from several of your favorite wrestlers across WWE, AEW, ROH who are accepting these awards. We're very proud of this, that so many of these people that get these awards want their physical awards. They want to provide acceptances for you guys. We're just so proud at how well these have been received after just 2 years. The Fightful Awards, we're going to be live Wednesday, January 31st at 6 p.m. Eastern. So grab yourself some dinner, sit down with myself and Denise, and enjoy the Fightful Awards 2023. And again, I'll be proud of this picture for the rest of my life. This was 1 week after the unfortunate passing of Jay Briscoe. And obviously I was planning on delivering these awards, but I wasn't expecting Jay and Mark Briscoe to get theirs immediately, because if you remember, they weren't allowed on AEW at that point. And Mark Briscoe was so proud of this award, and we were so proud that he accepted it. Can't wait to see who else accepts these guys. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about the winners. A lot of people are like, oh, well, what about blah, blah, blah. We don't worry about the omissions. We're here to celebrate who achieved things, and we're very excited for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mike the Jeweler wraps us up with a humper chat and says, hello, SRS and Alex. And the man behind the chat's Luis. Aiden, you're proving they're trying to get back what made them elite. Hopefully Rollins is good. If Rollins and he called him Mr. Tired, I think. Tired and blah, blah, blah. Hope Rollins wins. Punky Pie needs a reality check. Mike always sends these really generous humper chats and not CM Punk. All the time.
He paid to say it.
All the time that he did. If you guys want more of your questions answered, FightfulSelect.com. We got $5 a month there. You get a Q&A every single week. Next week, we'll probably adjust it somehow. I'm sure I'll still do a Q&A in some capacity because it's Rumble week. Everybody's going to want questions and answers over there. But we got a lot of cool stuff coming. Alex, you got a lot of cool stuff coming too. Yeah. I think what I'm going to do, because I'm flying back the night of Tampa, of the Royal Rumble, I'm flying back that night. And if my flight gets delayed, I'm just immediately leaving the airport and driving to the venue and watching the show, because I'm not going to not watch it.
Right.
And probably what I'll do is the Royal Rumble show that we're about to promote for Fightful Select, I'll probably just say, you guys should probably do that on the main feed if I can't make it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
a good plan to have, honestly.
That is a good, good plan. It would not be the craziest Royal Rumble podcast that I have done. That would be like less than a day after my daughter was born. When it was like three people working for the website and you were on location, and I was supposed to do it, but my daughter was born 2 weeks early. So
my first show I ever did on location. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Insane. Couldn't see anything. I was four seats at the Alamo Dome. Man.
Yeah. We'll do at some place there will be an SGS Sour Graps on the Royal Rumble, but we also do Mondays on Fightful Select. Tuesday we talk about NXT right here. Wednesday here. Fridays we do the Rampage watch along while talking about SmackDown. That's a lot of fun. We also cover Collision, and we're going to start doing more of the show This Is Cinema, where we review movies that star wrestlers. The next one we're going to do is Money Plane, starring the Cope Meister, Adam Copeland, and Kelsey Grammer, and apparently a guy screwing an alligator. So,
oh my god. Thank you, Pascal Siakam. Look forward to seeing you again when you re-sign with the Raptors in the summer, which would be hilarious.
That would be
guys hilarious. Thank you all so much. Until next time. Oh, we got a last one. Bobby White says, I know I ask about these guys and I'll keep asking. What about Hammerstone and Holiday? Hammerstone killed it at Hard to Kill. Would love to see him in AEW, but any news where they're leaning? Obviously, MJF is pushing for both of those guys. I think they should both be signed. I mean, honestly, I think TNA should try to sign both of them.
Yes,
if I were them. Yes. But Hammerstone was allowed to basically run a free commercial against one of the best wrestlers in the world saying, yeah, look what I can do.
check out
how I look under these lights, all that stuff.
Yeah.
TNA is where I think they would excel in TNA.
Right.
There wasn't a lot left for them to do in MLW, but in TNA, oh boy. And with I want to see Hammerstone and Holiday against Nick Nemeth. I want to see these guys face Mustafa Ali. Like, I want these people to make as much money as possible. But what I want to see is like 2017, 2018 levels of the indies is what I want to see. Yeah. Where people are like, damn, can't wait for this show on Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wasn't Holiday dating a toot? Wouldn't that be weird? It was work, brother. They didn't really date. They didn't really date. But hey, the fact that they got you all saying that, there you go. Guys, yep. Thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.